Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Chris Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Love is Blind, Season 9, Denver, recap of episodes 10 and 11. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
So, question. 10, 11, we know where we are. We're getting to the weddings next, or at least getting to the altar. How you feeling?
I mean, there are some unexpected things. Mm-hmm. Everyone's not going to make it to the altar, apparently. So it just keeps dwindling down. It's almost like Survivor at this point. It's
not right.
Love is Blind. It's just Survivor. Who's going to
Love is Survivor.
Try to make it? Yeah, who's going to try to make it to the very end? But I think these two episodes had some really good meat and potatoes in it compared to a lot of the other stuff. So I've been looking forward to talking about these.
Robin says, just finished the episode. Perfect timing. And, you know, I was wondering because Jay says, I'm here, I'm queer. And I said, oh, wait a minute, typo. I'm here, I'm queen. Oh, is this the typo?
Yeah. I thought it was like, I'm here, I'm queer. I'm like, good for you. And then it said, don't tell Nick. Don't tell Nick and Annie. I'm like, ooh.
Nope, she's there. Yep. Actually, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
So see, there we go. All right. So let's get into this, man, because there's so much to get into. Like Christina says, whew, can't wait to hear what y'all about to say about these episodes. It's a lot to get to. So
yeah,
rolling all the way back up to the top. Speaking of Nick and Annie, should we start there?
Yes, I think we should.
All right. Let's start with Nick and Annie. Because they're here talking about Kate, right?
Yeah.
And for some strange reason, and I'm not understanding what's going on here, but I told you a couple episodes ago, they scare me.
Yeah.
And I mean it, because she's like, I don't think you love me as much as I want you to. You know what that sounds like?
Yeah. Well, they were meeting up. This was after the evening with the singles group joins the pod squad. Mm-hmm. And so I think she's hammered. Because just looking at her, to me, she seems very out of it, like she's drunk. And I think that's what she does. Like, I don't think you love me the way I think that I want you to love me and all this stuff. And Nick is thinking to himself, where in the hell is this coming from?
Yep.
Like, why are we having this conversation? And he keeps trying to reassure her, but she's not listening whatsoever. And then she says, he's never been here for me. And Nick's like, what? I've been here. I remember I was helping you put that stuff up at your salon and I'm doing some other stuff.
You know, the free work I did at your job?
Yeah.
That you would have had to pay somebody to do? Yes.
Yeah. So I don't blame him when he was like, what do you want from me, woman? Mm. Like, what do you want?
I'm watching it and I'm thinking, I hope she's just drunk because it's really concerning the way she's going and talking in circles. And Sanya says, this is very unpleasant to watch, unfortunately. And I low-key feel it's unethical for them to film her when she's that drunk.
It's reality.
There's a reason why most reality TV shows have free liquor.
Yeah, that's when it gets good.
Yes. First season of was it Real World? They figured out take away the phones and make sure there's no TV, because if there's TV and you sit there and you just have hours and hours of people sitting on the couch watching TV.
Yeah, you show me a camera guy that's like, "Hey guys, I'm gonna stop. She's upset." That's his last day. That's his last day on set.
Hey guys, I don't think we should do this.
Be like, hey, key grip, suit up. You're a cameraman now. Camera suit. That's your new name.
Hey, chef, we're gonna need you over here. Tasha in the desert says Annie and her hair were drunk. Y'all are not easing up on her hair at all. Hey, shout out to Kelly too. I'm saying I'm on my birthday vacation in Jamaica and I was waiting for this review. Hey, appreciate you thinking of us in Jamaica. Bring back some of that sunshine and sand with you. Look, the next morning we do find out Annie was actually really drunk.
Yeah.
Because they're having the hair of the dog, right? So do we now give her grace for talking in circles and sounding like, Fatal Attraction the night before, knowing that she was drunk? and that's all it was.
No, I wouldn't give her grace on that. Because I think this, it's a difference. She's too old to be that type of person. That's one thing. If you get drunk, you're sloppy, you're falling on the ground, and I got to carry you home and put you into bed, I can let that slide. But if you get drunk and every time you do it, because I think the same thing happened in Baja, that she's tipsy and it's like, you don't love me. You don't like all that. I couldn't deal with that.
Apparently, you're not the only person who is not, because Jay says no. Kata Canary Diamond, absolutely not. CXM, no. Gina says, no, we do not. Assumptive B, no. Drunkenness just brings out the real side of someone. Creepy and a stalker. She told y'all that in the beginning.
Yeah.
Nick knew this. She told him that. Didn't he ask her in the pods? And what'd she say?
I'm crazy.
Hey, I'm a crazy. You know that song, don't you?
Yeah.
Ariana says, no grace. She keeps doing it. I'm glad Nick stood on business. Exactly. Because that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You have to, you recognize something. You go, okay, that's one. Okay, that's two.
Yeah.
I'm not sticking around for three because it's only going to get worse. This was painful to watch.
He told her the first time she did it.
Yes.
After the whole Baja thing, he was like, hey, so let's talk about last night when you're trying to put words in my mouth. She goes, oh, that'll never happen again. He goes, it can't happen again. Mm-hmm. And then look what happened. So he gave her one chance. One fair warning. She had one chance and she does it again. And I like how Nick was very direct. Mm-hmm. He tells her that that last night was the breaking point for him and getting to the altar is not a happy idea for him. And he's pretty much saying it's over in multiple ways. He's told her it's over.
Yes.
Annie was like, no, no, it's not over. You should just try. That would make me nervous. I'd be scared. I'd be like, hey,
producer, I still want to get married. I just want you to try.
Yeah. I mean, the producers, I don't know what she's going to come do, but I need some backup in here because I'm feeling threatened.
It's funny you should say that because Jay says if the cameras weren't there, Annie would have had Nick's head in the freezer. And probably so. It's nuts because, you know, she then decides to compare marriage to owning a business and buying a home because I've done those and that means we can do this.
Wow. But I wonder, does she look at her business and like when she gets drunk, it's like, you're a terrible beauty salon. All the hair in here is gross and ugly, and it's your fault. And then, like, when she's buying the home, is it just she gets mad at the house? Look at you with all your square footage and bathrooms. You think you're special? No, she's great. She's out there, man. That is just off to me.
Renee's on the other side saying, really? He never loved her, in my opinion. Can we really say that?
I can't say that because he said he did. So I can't say that he didn't. I don't know this man's feeling, but I'm just going off what he said to her multiple times and tried to reassert her multiple times, the Baja night and this particular, the night after the singles meet up with the pod squad. And he was like, yeah, I'm done.
The Baja night was enough, but because the way that went was terrible. And I like the way he addressed it then. I like the way he addressed it now. Assumptive B says the fact that Annie has a siding with Nick, because he ain't no saint either. Maybe not, but still. And Renee says he left too easy for me. But then again, I struggle with drinking, so I guess I'm understanding of Annie. He didn't leave too easy. He left right on time. Annie? Okay. That's all I'm going to say, because I don't know how her internet skills are.
Hold on. Keep in mind, traditionally, when you break up with somebody,
yes,
it's like, hey, this is over. I'll catch you next week and I'll pick up my stuff or something. I'll bring your key back. Mm-hmm. He has this conversation and then she finally realizes that he's not bullshitting. And so she says, all right, well, let's pack. So now they got to pack in the same apartment. And he's going to have to deal with whatever's going to come in her head and she wants to come out of her mouth until he leaves.
So it's not like he just around.
Yeah, just follows them around. Just that has to be the most awkward packing situation. Like, we just broke up. Now we're in the same living room or bedroom packing up our clothes.
I will say this. He did the smart thing in packing up because had he not, there's some stuff would have been messed up. That's why he couldn't leave and say, I'll come back after you're gone. No.
do you like how he kept her right in front of him? Like everywhere he went, she's right in front. She's not going to sneak up from behind. I can see you.
Look, little Eva says Annie wanted to wear a wedding dress and walk down the aisle. She didn't care who the groom was. Here's the problem. Had he done that at the altar, could you imagine what she would have done in front of family and friends?
No. I can't.
Yeah.
Probably would have been a mess. It's better for him to do it now because he knows he's not going to say, which I respect when couples like, there's definitely no way I'm going to make it to the altar.
Yeah.
I say end it because so many people are doing it. So it can't be, the consequence can't be that high. But why get someone to the altar? Why get their friends and family to travel out for this wedding that you're going to wind up saying no in front of them?
My thing was when he said, you can't make me marry. You can't make me go to the altar. I'm like, wait a minute. Then here's the thing. She says that this was Nick's plan all along. And to me, I feel like this is no accountability on her part. She's not taking any part of what she did wrong in this.
No. Which, I mean, that's common.
Stop it.
I'm just saying, it's common. Not many women I've met were like, I had a few relationships that went bad. Here's what I did wrong in those. No, you don't hear that.
Do you agree with Plans for Life here? It says Nick is the most mature participant this season.
I don't want to give him all the credit. I got to wait to see what comes up from the reunion because sometimes someone could look like they are the most mature person. And he doesn't come across that way. But there are some little red flags that I'm not willing to say that he's the most mature person on here.
Mm-hmm. Monica disagrees with you, by the way, just so you know.
Of course. Of course.
Why? Because she's a woman?
Yeah, no woman's going to agree with me.
Because Leah also disagrees with you.
Yeah, no woman's going to agree with me. They're not going to be like, no, Terrell, that's not true. We do take ownership. Okay, that's fine.
No, Terrell, of course we do. Yeah,
of course that's not true. I'm like, okay.
By the way, as something to be, this is what we're going to end with Annie and Nick here with this one. Because I think Alec, she said, I honestly like that he didn't attack her or gaslight her. He simply ended it. He had his best HR speech. And the only thing he didn't say is, I wish you well on your future endeavors.
Future endeavors. Now go be with God.
<You're> gone. Oh my God. Nuts. This was not, you know what's so funny? I watched this twice. The first time I didn't even realize because they're so bland at times. I didn't even realize he actually broke up with her. That's how much I wasn't paying attention the first time.
Oh, really?
You were like, so they broke up. Like, I was like, huh? Nick and Annie broke up. I went back to look at it. Yeah. I'm like, what did I miss?
Yeah, he was in it. He's like, nope. I'm dealing with this.
Dear God, Anton and Allie. This is wild. Because Allie goes into the kitchen. She notices that all, not some, not a few, not a couple, all the bears gone. And Anton turns into a teenager again. I don't know.
You had some beers too. And she's like, only had two. Maybe you drank more. Like all this stuff. I'm thinking, Anton, you are not making yourself look good. Because here's what's crazy. When you live alone, you can drink all you want and go through as many bottles. It's not a problem until someone recognizes that they're with you. And they're like, wait, you just killed two bottles of wine?
Right.
Monday night, another two tonight, another two. What is going on? So his whole lying strategy, I just don't get where he's going. Like, she can tell that the stuff is missing. Then he tries to say, oh, well, no, Patrick came by.
Yeah.
And we had some beers. I'm like, okay, so when did this pop in your head? Now, I thought it was odd when Allie was like, well, was Patrick in the apartment? I was like, what do you have against Patrick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay. Was that weird to you that she was questioning? Or is it something, did they have a pact that nobody come into the apartment if the other person isn't there? It's not like it was another woman. It's Patrick. It's homeboy.
Yeah. I don't know. The only thing I could think of is she's embarrassed that she's gross and disgusting and doesn't pick up after and doesn't want someone to see that side of her other than Anton. That's the only thing I could think of.
He's just lying so much, man. All of a sudden we hear about the 12 pack of Coors, that's gone. And here's the thing that starts to disturb me with Anton, because he says, me having a couple beers here and there doesn't represent who I am. Which is the beginning of a problem. When you have to say that, what doesn't that mean?
Yeah, he's just saying, yeah, this is what I do. Yeah. You don't like to pick up after yourself. I like to have a couple beers after work. So, and it's funny because he said, so is this your normal work week where you don't pick up after yourself and you don't do laundry? And she says, yes, that is my norm, with attitude. But yeah, she's been honest with him about that from the beginning. So as I'm hearing that, I'm thinking, okay, Patrick, Anton, you're going to probably say no at the altar. Y'all make it that far.
I like the fact that she was very direct in that. Just like, yeah, no, yeah, yes, that's it. Didn't give him a chance to dance around it, right? Even though Christina, YouTube channel member Christina, says she was passive aggressive about it. Just be direct and say what you mean. Enough of this, really? Let's just get to it. Which, at the same time, Jay Noel is saying the drinking itself isn't a problem. It's the lying that goes along with it, which tells you there's more of a problem, right?
Well, it does, but I think it's more than just a couple beers, right? And if that's the case, be honest and tell her, hey, you have a high alcohol tolerance. I can relate. Mm-hmm. So a couple beers is not going to do anything to me.
Yeah.
Right. So if that's all it is, great. But when she says, well, what happened to that bottle of tequila? And he sits and goes, tequila?
Let me go look.
We have tequila now? Are you sure? Let me go look. I'm like, you knew full well when you were walking to that refrigerator there was not going to be any tequila.
That shit was hilarious.
Yeah, this is a tequila in this house?
Let me look and see if I can find it. Maybe it's behind the milk. Maybe it's behind the orange juice.
I think you're thinking Baja. We didn't have tequila. Yeah, he's moving bottles around. We got some Sunny D. We got some purple stuff. I don't see any tequila. And he says, I guess it's gone. But it was just a little bit in there. And she says, no, it's half a bottle.
Okay, but what size was it? I mean, if it was a 1.75 liter, I get it.
Yeah.
What if it was 750?
It wasn't a fifth, right?
What if it was
as much as Patrick likes to drink, as much as Anton likes to drink, I can't imagine him buying a fifth or 750 milliliter. He's going to get a liter or a handle because they like tequila. They do tequila shots all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So he loves some good tequila, which there's nothing wrong with that. But just own up to the fact that you drank it all. Now, you could tell her, hey, Allie, I finished this in 3 days. Yeah. That half bottle. I finished that in 3 days because I would have a beer and a shot. Mm-hmm. Beer and a shot. And I've been fine.
Yeah. No, that would have been it. Here's the thing, though. Anton does kind of try to wrap it all up. He's like, okay, I'm tired of being scolded like a child. Look, if you feel like I'm not the right person for you, I will respect it. That's it. I can't take this anymore. Stop talking to me because I need another bottle. And apparently we're out of tequila.
he's pretty much saying, hey, I'm going to say no. I believe this is his soft no at the altar. Hey, look, I think you're the great person. You're a great person to me. But if you don't feel that same way, I respect that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not interested.
He's not. What happened when they met his mom, Natalia? I mean, I loved her accent, right? But I grew up in the 80s.
Strong Russian accent.
She sounds sweet. Sounds like a sweet lady. But I grew up in the 80s, so I'm thinking spy. I remember all the cartoons. I remember Drago from Rocky. I'm sorry. Sweet lady. That was my first thought. But then
Drago. I must break you. Yeah. I thought she was nice. And you could tell how I always think it's really sweet when you see, older moms still like love and dote on their sons. Mm-hmm. Like they were teenagers or you know, adolescence. And that's how she looks at Anton. So I thought it was really sweet. I thought she asked some good questions, and Natalia said that she feels psychologically Anton's ready to build his own family and take responsibility, which I think any mom knows their son and knows if they are ready for this, like they know it. And some moms
know she knows the non-drinking Anton. And,
well, no, she knows the drinking Anton too, because I'm sure they have get-togethers. But here's what was interesting is Allie said that when they have kids, she wants to be the stay-at-home mom and let Anton work. And Antoine likes that she can admit that. And then Natalia tells Allie that she would accept her as her own daughter. But I'm just listening to Allie say, hey, I want to have kids. I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. And Anton's like, yeah, sure. I got that. Where in my mind, you're a stay-at-home mom. Who's cleaning the house and doing laundry? Because you don't do that now with no baby. How are you going to do this with a baby?
And she even said she's not good with traditional roles. Well, the stay-at-home mom is good with traditional roles because she has to. If you're staying at home, you got to clean the house. You got to cook the food. You got to take care of the child.
Yeah.
Trash. All that stuff.
You know, them stay-at-home Russian moms, you know what they do? They clean. They clean.
Yo, apparently, I don't know if you noticed this, but the chat is going crazy over this. Because Christina says, YouTube channel member Christina says, Anton's mom being like, he's a perfect boy while he's going to town on that croissant. Crumbs all over his mouth. Why did we zoom in that close? God damn, Netflix, relax. Then I've seen this many times through this. Anton was inhaling that damn sandwich. Disgusting.
He could have been hungry.
Tasha in the desert. We gotta talk about why Anton was eating the one croissant. What's
wrong with you? My man was hungry. You ever just come home and you're just hungry? You're famished. And you just want to eat? Maybe that was going on. He was just ready to get his grub on.
Maybe his mama brought that. He's like, man, I miss your cooking, mama, because this girl, right here, she don't cook, she don't clean, she don't do nothing.
Just eat, sleep, and shit. That's all she does.
And ask for Botox. Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us, man. You know, we do appreciate you, whether you are doing this now as part of the live crew or later as part of the replay gang. And shout out to everybody who's made it over to the live crew from the replay gang. Do us a favor. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shows.
Oh, my God. Dang, you are hilarious. All right. You ready? Next couple. Let's get to Jordan and Megan.
Okay.
No, I think I scrolled down too far. I'm sorry.
No, I think we're at
no, we're right.
No, you're right. Megan and Jordan. Yep.
Meeting Jordan's parents, Kip and Zan. I thought,
yeah,
if they didn't say whose parents they were, I would have known immediately because they have Jordan's sense of humor.
Yeah.
Or he has theirs. The joking from the mom, the dad, it went all around the table, right?
Yeah.
Even when, you know. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I like the banter. I like how they mess with each other. I mean, to me, that's like that fun family you want to be around at the holidays.
Yes.
Because, you know, we're going to have a good laugh and really enjoy hanging out.
Remember when mom is like, so how'd you, how'd y'all feel on your first kiss? The way... The way this conversation went, right? It's crazy because he's just like, oh, we haven't kissed yet. You know, obviously joking. And then he starts to describe it. And he's like, hold up, I didn't ask for details. Son, calm down. This was a lot.
Yeah, no parent wants to hear all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was still a funny conversation. Now, my favorite part of their conversation was when I think Megan asked them, like, what are some keys to successful marriage? And his mom, Zan, said that the key to successful marriage is don't give up and don't quit. Well, and I'm like, sometimes you need to quit and you need to get divorced.
Yeah, like Nick did. Sometimes you need to quit.
But I like Kip because Kip said it's 10% love, 90% commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. Commitment is the key.
That's big. Yeah.
And that's a lot, right? y'all are nuts in the chat, man. Thank you, Plans for Life. now, the thing that we didn't talk about, right, was J. Marie says I would have left after this Caucasian chicken light smoothie.
Yeah, no.
To which Christina said, when she mentioned the chicken smoothie, and the mom was like, you're still doing that? Like, geez. You almost lost her because of that. What are you doing? That's like what his mom was doing.
Yeah, because that's just disgusting. Like, why would you think that is something? Like, what trainer have you ever heard say, hey, bake you a piece of chicken, put it in the refrigerator, then in the morning, put in your magic bullet and add a little Crystal Light, some water, mix it, chug it. Who would do that? That's disgusting.
Terrible. You know, people have been talking about this a lot, you know, the disparity in especially in income, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Megan, not worried about it, says, look, it would take something very catastrophic for her not to say yes.
Yeah.
Sounds good. But then she says, I know it's usually the guy that does this, but can I ask for your blessing to marry your queen of a son? Like, what are you doing? Why would you do that to that man?
She didn't, you know, no, that did not emasculate him. That did not emasculate him. The 1.5 million that she has on the ready, that emasculated him. That's when he realized, I am way out of my league here with this woman. But I didn't see anything wrong with what she did. I thought it was nice. He did it with her family. I just thought it was a nice gesture, but I don't look at that as emasculating Jordan.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, we'll take that differently. Edmund and KB, you know, this picks up from the Pod Squad get together. And it's like, they said, okay, camera's rolling. Yes. All right. Action. Why do I have to keep bringing up the elephant in the room?
So right now, Edmund, why?
Now, Edmund tries to say, look, I tried to talk to you the night before. Now, he knows that was the wrong time and there was no conversation going to be had that night before, right?
Oh, 100%. He should have known better. And then when he even tried to explain it, it's like, I just need his voice to be better. But when Annie said Nick was perfect, I thought it was funny. And just all that, just listen to him talk. I'm like, I just can't. but he was saying that he thought it was nice, but KB is mad. And here's what we find out. KB is mad because before that get together with the singles and the Pod Squad, she was running late and asked him to go to the store to get some Western wear. And he said, no. He doesn't want to go to the store because he doesn't want to be late. So she's already pissed and agitated.
Yes.
And then she told him how, you know, that hurt her feelings. And instead of acknowledging it, he said, well, you hurt mine too.
But that's what he does. This is the childish crap he does all the time. Think about it at the Pod Squad party. I love you, KB. Like, yo, talk. Speak.
Right.
Roof. Something.
Yeah.
Like, no, but the only thing you can say is I love you. And she's like, I don't want to hear that. Tell me this, right? So now here, it's the same thing. And this is where I thought it got really awkward because she's telling him to apologize, right? And to me, I think that's a problem. If you're begging somebody to apologize, isn't that a problem? Right.
Well, yeah. And he wound up conceding because he apologized for not staying and listening and that he got overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And then KB asked, you know, why do you feel it was appropriate to say it would be nice to hear something nice? And it's like, because you've not said a lot of nice things about that man.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if someone's telling you, hey, I need to hear some nice things, there's a reason they're telling you I need to hear something nice from you. And Edmund even says, look, you can backhand me and you can talk some shit, but every now and then I need to hear something nice.
Okay. But she's done a lot of nice. Like, she didn't leave him when he tried to cry in Baja. over being the only guy to not get some. That was nice.
It's nice, but you're giving her way more of a pass than I would. And I think it boils down to,
give him a pass for that crap.
Well, but here's what trips me out about KB. So in this conversation, she said she sees his potential, but potential has broken her heart before. Mm. And I really think she likes fixer-uppers. Like, that's what she normally goes to. She likes them a little broken. But I will give her credit that she apologized for getting so heated.
Okay. She showed how to do an apology. He gave a BS apology. She showed him how to give a real apology. Right. Which even though Clara says too much wrong with this couple, his manipulation and her disrespect, which it's funny you say that because she did say you're very smart. She was very careful to say that. And I think she said that purposely. Like, this is an act that we're seeing. Right. Now, the thing about it is, all of a sudden, we're back in happy times. Now, it may have been an edit or an apology is all it needs for us to flip the switch and get back to this happy go lucky place. And she's like, look, I just want to get married, have fun for a year, and then it's time to shoot the club up.
Why are you giving that man false hope?
She didn't say with him.
No, but don't give that man false hope. There's the club she has, his gun won't get anywhere near it. She has metal detectors. Oh, he has no shot of being able to get in there. Even if he was a Jedi flying those fighters trying to blow up the Imperial, whatever it is, he's not going to be able to make that happen. So it's like, why would you even give him any sense of hope?
Aaliyah says KB is, Brandy says KB is wasting everyone's time. That is nuts. But you're absolutely right. You know, this is so on brand for Edmund when they're doing the marriage license. What was this nonsense? And why did they leave it in there?
To make fun of Edmund, again, to pick on him. So they're filling out the online marriage license. Edmund thought when it asked for country, he thought it said county. So he put his county in. Thank you, Matt, Death Star. He put his county in. And so she looks, she's like, wait a minute, you weren't born in the U.S.? He's like, oh, I thought that said county, not country. I'm like, wow. Why y'all got to try to make Edmund look bad like that? Okay. I'm like, you got on glasses. How'd you miss that?
Here's the question I have. What county did he put down? And why did she think it was a country?
Well, who knows?
She likes to tweet, says, Terrell, be nice.
Science. Too nice. No, I can't be nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to be an asshole.
Look, this couple right here, obviously a lot of issues with them. Joe and Madison. They're meeting Madison's family. And as they're sitting at the table waiting, you can see the beginning of the end of this couple. Because all Madison could talk about is getting to sexy time.
Yeah. And here's how you know, ladies, here's how you know when a man doesn't want you. When you're telling him, man, I can't wait to leave this restaurant so I can get you home and get you neck. And he's like, hey, we're about to have dinner.
You're about to ruin my appetite thinking about that.
That's not appropriate table talk. That man does not want you at all.
Yo, that was wild. But if you thought that was bad enough, when Madison's mom, Erin, and her sister, Jessica, show up, and the very silent brother-in-law, Matt, the vocal fry would have been enough for me to get up and walk the hell out and be like, I'm done. Way too much.
Yeah.
All you heard, all the like a siren. Oh my God, this was a lot, man. But what'd you think of this whole meetup with Madison's family?
So I thought it was. You can see how close they are. So there's that. And you can see how much concern the mom has, you know, for Madison, because, you know, Madison apparently never brought anybody to meet the family. So this is a big deal. Mom asked that, have y'all learned, you know, what have you learned about Madison outside the pods? And Joe said that she's very fiery.
She's crazy.
And that they're butting heads. I'm like, no, you just want to say that she's crazy. Now then when her mom said, if she's in a bad place, hug her and don't let her go until she wants you to. That's a little bit crazy. Like, no. you can't be a weighted blanket for somebody every time they're upset, and just hold you forever. You're adults.
Have you never been to Disney?
No.
Okay, if you go to Disney and you hug a character, they won't let you go until you let them go.
That's Disney's policy for what Disney does.
That's my point.
If you're at work tomorrow and somebody gives you a hug and doesn't let you go, what are you going to do? You're calling HR. You're like, hey.
I'm going to fire them.
Yeah. Hey, don't touch me. I'm not aroused. Yeah. So at Disney, they do that. But in the real world, you just don't hug somebody and just hold it forever. Like, you smell nice. You can't do that.
Yo, Christina's on point right here, because when Jessica says she can't wait for babies, Joe did look like, ma'am, who are you again? Like, literally, because he looked nervous. Like, excuse me, hold up. Moving a little too fast.
He's like, I'm never going to see y'all again. Like, this is...
What was it? What was this whole blindside last minute thing that happened?
So, Matt, which is her sister Jessica's husband, asks, is there anything that scares Joe? And Joe said that, you know, he was in a 5-year relationship and was engaged and was just miserable. And like, I think the day of the wedding or right before the wedding, he wound up calling it off. And then I think him saying this, that makes Madison nervous. And then Jessica said there will always be some degree of uncertainty, but you must push through it, which I agree. But there's a part of me that doesn't, because I've talked to too many people who are divorced that said, I knew on the wedding day I didn't want to do this. But my mom told me, we've paid for this. You're getting married today. So I'm like, I could see her being in that situation. And then what was awesome is mom asked Joe if he's going to do that to her. Like, are you going to, like, last minute, you know, Madison? Of course, she was like, oh, no, we're good.
What was he supposed to say?
Yeah.
Well, you never know. I might.
Yeah. I'm totally going to break her heart. Yeah, I'm going to break her heart. She's going to call you in a couple of days.
What? If you see her calling, answer. She's going to need
answer. She's going to need it. And hold on to her tight. Until she says, let go, because she's going to need a hug.
I know that you fast-forwarded through the dress and tuck shopping, right?
Yes, I did.
I just want to say this real quick, because I know everybody probably saw this. KB's friends tried their damnedest to follow the script and say something nice about Edmund. They failed, because you could see it. Like, she said, oh, so he's different. And he's going to bring out another side of her. But of course the real treat is Madison and her mom. They're so elated, right? And even Madison's mom says Joe didn't set off her ick meter. So she's all in on Joe. So is Madison. Meanwhile, Joe is over there resisting all of Nick's questions. I thought this was a tux fitting. What's going on?
You got to keep in mind, what does Joe do professionally? Joe's a recruiter. I'm in recruiting. We can fake it all day long with people. Oh, yeah, it looks great to me. What do you do? We are looking for somebody just like that. Send me your resume, and you never hear from the person again.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we could totally fake conversations with anybody because we're so used to talking to everybody all the time. When I worked for Whole Foods, I loved wearing logo because I'd be in the airport. My God, you work at Whole Foods? I'm like, yeah, what do you do? I'm working recruiting. And they're like, oh, I love y'all's food. And my daughter has celiac and she can't eat this. And like, you hear all kinds of stuff from people just because I had the logo on me. So I think that's Joe, where he can make people feel like he's awesome, like he did with Madison's family.
Right.
And then now we see the real Joe around his boys.
Oh, yeah. Because this was kind of, it was really kind of a while because even Joe's friends are in on Madison. They like Madison. And, you know, you can tell that Joe isn't. He even says, everyone else is so sure. But yeah. He, in the meantime, is half and half, right? He's half elated, half ready to jump out the window. Or as we're about to find out, 100%, you know, out the door. Because it's nuts the way this is going.
Mm-hmm.
You can see just the attitude he's having with the poor woman in the tuxedo shop who's just trying to help this man with a tie.
Yeah.
She had to take the tag off of that tie that they're going to have to find a way to put back on because... Joe just—he refused to do anything. And his tie was nuts. What was up with him and this?
He just wasn't really into the whole trying on the tuxes. He didn't really care. His heart wasn't in it. I think this is where he's having that debate with himself. Like, I need to get out of this. Mm-hmm. And then his friends are trying to help with the whole tie deal because he doesn't know how to tie a tie apparently. Mm-hmm. And they're like, want me to watch a YouTube video on how to tie a tie, which is cute, but. Guys, learn how to tie a tie. Like, yeah, should happen. Please do that.
And if you want to learn how to tie a bow tie, do it before you put on the shirt, because I sweated through the first shirt the first time I tried to do that on the YouTube. It was New Year's Eve. I'm there. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I need a fan.
Sweat stains all
in. Oh, no, sweating like crazy. I got to button this all the way up. I had the bow tie. It looked good, but Jesus.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Joe was freaking out at this point. Yeah. And so when his friend finally asked him, you know, so is it starting to set in? And that's when Joe snapped.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
My wife was like, ooh. He said that. I'm just like, oh, man. It's wild because Joe tells the producers it's stressful. Lots of feelings. Yeah. Everything is put into real life. Let's do this tomorrow.
Yeah. I just gotta get out of here. And I like he didn't say anything to the people, to Nick,
nope.
The boys. He just walked outside. Everybody's like, is Joe leaving? And he gets to his truck. You see the producer out there trying to talk to him. He's like, yeah, nah, son. I'm out.
You might want to back up. Back. Give me 50 feet, because this is about to be gone. She likes to tweet, says, I get the feeling that his boys are actually trolling him and they already knew he wasn't gonna say yes. That's why he said STFU and took off.
You think? Yeah, I don't think so.
No, some of the bees right there saying his friends were not surprised either. They knew he had reached his limits. Well, they know him.
Well, they know him. And they're just like, I don't think there was any conspiracy in that. I just think they were there to support him, whether he was going to say yes or he was going to say no. You know, they were there for him.
Brandy asked, was this sooner or later than the last time he ran off from marrying someone? This is sooner, right?
Well, he was with that other person for 5 years.
Yeah, so
he's only been with Madison 5 weeks.
Yeah. And that was way more than enough. He knew it. So we find out, as we see them again, that we see the first part of the breakdown, but apparently he had the full meltdown after the tux fitting and told Madison that she is not his person. And if they go to the altar, he's going to say no.
Right.
Do we at least give him props for his honesty?
I give him props for his honesty because he's just trying to tell her. What made me laugh is like the producer's just saying, oh, what'd he say? Oh, wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to do this on camera. So, hey, Joe, I need you to come back here to the apartment and y'all have this conversation so we can film it. Because that part seemed forced.
So here's the... probably the only part of this that I'm siding with Madison, because I thought she had a very valid question. If you knew you didn't want to say yes at the altar, you knew it was a no, a definitive no, why let her go dress fitting?
Good point.
It's a great point. And he said, oh, the tux fitting was the breaking point. No, you knew. We saw the look on your face. You're like, 3 weeks? Nicky, you shitting me? we saw the look on your face, right?
He knew when he met her family. He knew when he met her family, like, yeah, this is not going to work. He should have the conversation then. So I agree with Madison, you know, on that part. But here's what gets interesting about this whole breakup. Mm-hmm. Because Madison says, why? And what is mm-hmm. missing? And Joe says, I don't have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I just doesn't feel right, which Madison can't fathom. But the reality is, that's a valid reason.
It is.
It's like, I can't put my finger on it. This just doesn't feel right. And it's not that she did anything wrong. And I appreciate how Joe handled this, because if he tried to say, well, it's because of this, or you look like this, or you do this, that's going to hurt that person way worse.
Right.
You don't need to tell somebody specifics. Just say, hey, I just don't feel like this is the right deal, and be able to move on.
Nothing you say is going to be right. I mean, because she wouldn't let it out. This is like when they did the DC one, and you know, something happened off the baby thing, and that would happen off camera. And they're like, all right, no, we need this. This is why we signed you on the show. Do it in front of the camera. So the fact that this is not a surprise is mm-hmm. a whole lot more, because the way she still went in is crazy. Like, if not me, who? If not us, why? Doesn't matter. It's not you. It's not y'all. Go.
Yeah. And did you catch how Madison says it's odd how this comes up after the meetup with the singles? So apparently that meetup with the singles night, I think they all went out someplace else. Mm-hmm. And she was asking, is there someone else in that group that he wanted? He's like, no, you know, there wasn't. Then she goes, so are you okay with me being with someone else? Like, you'd be okay with that?
This just kept getting worse.
Yeah.
So look, go back. Is it because of somebody else? No, it's because of you. Okay. Right. Then is it this? Is it this? Like, Jesus Christ. What did you think he was going to say?
In the moment, it's hard to process all that. We've all been in breakup conversations, either on the receiving end or on the giving end. And it sucks. And you're emotional. And I totally get it. So my heart went out to her for that. But it just started to get worse when she said, If they met in the real world, would they have been able to date? And I'm thinking to myself, I was hoping Joe would be like, okay, in the real world, like, would you be you if we met in the real world? No, and we wouldn't date. Like, no, there's no way he would have dated her in the real world. I just don't think they're the right fit for each other.
You see, this is where you know it just keeps getting worse. Because why would she go to ask that question about if we met in the real world after she just asked him this other question? It just kept getting worse. Piling. Are you okay with me being with somebody else? Yeah, I'm absolutely quite fine with that. I have no problem. Matter of fact, if you did it in front of me, I would probably cheer you on.
Go.
Hey, Madison. She likes it like this.
Give me an M. Give me an A.
Why would she keep asking these questions? It's terrible. Oh, then she goes, here's the thing. She says her heart is breaking, right? And my first thought is, no, that's the karma for you acting holier than thou and better than everybody else and talking shit about everybody else on this show. That's the problem, right? But she's crying, saying Joe doesn't care because he sees her crying and he won't hug her. Remember what her mom said, right?
Yeah.
My wife didn't care what her mom said. My wife was like, hey, she starts screaming at the TV, just leave. I'm like, baby, they can't hear you. She's like, leave.
I think if it's like a mutual breakup, you know, where you both are talking about, hey, it's not going to work, and then you have that emotional hug, that's totally fine. This would happen to me, and I get that. Mm-hmm. But you don't break up with someone knowing that they are upset and you're not. Like, you're relieved that I had the conversation. I got a weight lift off my shoulders.
Yeah.
You don't hug and console that person. You just got to sit there and just maybe touch them on the shoulder and be like, you're going to be okay. that's it. Because you can't hold it. It just doesn't make sense.
You know,
person's heart. Don't try to come in for the hug and, you know, nurture your love on them knowing you don't want to.
That's the unfortunate thing about reality TV, because they want all of that. They need all of it, right? Mm-hmm. We know in real life, you got to treat it like HR.
Yeah.
Short, straight to the point. We wish you well on your future endeavors. And my wife sitting there just, hey man, talking about you dying inside. No, no, no. Go somewhere else. Do that somewhere else. Don't sit there and keep begging that man, because he is not gonna be there for you.
Yeah.
And she couldn't. It was bad. This was painful to watch. This was really painful to watch.
It was.
Did you feel sorry for her?
I felt bad for her. I mean, I know how it sucks, right? Breakups suck, but she'll grow from this. I think she'll watch it and look back and be like, okay, there were some red flags I missed. Should have paid attention to that. I should have paid attention to that. Which I'm sure it's easy to get distracted by all the cameras and lights and all the alcohol they're feeding you. So I get it. But I think she's got to grow from this.
Do you agree with Naturally Sadie says Joe is irresponsible for sleeping with Madison? Here's the problem. He was in a no-win situation. If he didn't sleep with her, she would have had a problem with it. She would have pulled an Edmund on him.
Why, Joe? Why would you clap these cheeks up?
These cheeks up. Oh my God. Hey, appreciate everybody hanging out with us, man. Do us a favor, whether you are watching this live or watching this now live as part of the live crew, watch this latest part of Replay Gang. Do us a favor, hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. That's your part, man. Jeez.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. And if you really want to
support... You're trying to share stuff with people, and look what happens.
No. Sorry. If you really want to support the channel, join the regular guys by becoming a member. It's less than $3 a month. You'll get custom emojis, early access to Random Thoughts and RGT Pod Reacts videos, and more, including members-only live streams for story time with Terrell.
And to all of our podcast fam, listen on your favorite app. Thank you. Leave us a 5-star rating and a quick review. Hopefully the review is positive. But you're okay to leave a not so positive if you leave a 5-star rating.
That's funny. You're okay not to leave a 5-star.
But as long as you leave a 5-star, we're good. By the way, Rita 5 says, I came in just in time for Terrell's Edmund voice. And of course, J. Marie's telling you, Terrell, be nice.
Nice.
Now, oh my God. Where are we at? Okay, there we go. I had to go find my stuff back.
KB and Edmund.
Yes. Back to the Edmund voice. The snowmobile.
Yeah.
It can't be just me. Why is Edmund on the back? Why is he not driving the snowmobile?
Yeah.
Somebody help
me. I saw that. And I thought maybe he drove halfway and they switched. No. And then she drove all the way
to the
deal. But I saw that he rides in the back. I'm like, first off, no, we're not doing that. Not on my watch. I'm like, camera guy, I need footage of me driving. And then footage of her driving. Show we took turns.
Look, that's like riding in the back seat, on the hump in the back seat. You know what they call that? I ain't going to say that to that man because she already did it later. We'll get to that in a second. Because you know that. Look, here's the thing. You knew there were problems when they get off the snowmobile and KB's like, I'm going to go get some hot chocolate. He's just, look at the mountainside.
Look at God. Look at nature. This is nice. This is nice, KB.
This is me.
This is beautiful. This is all beautiful. Go give me some hot chocolate, 2 sugar cubes, if you don't mind, please.
Yeah, she comes back with a hot chocolate. He doesn't even stand up. She gives him his hot chocolate, and he doesn't even help her.
Help her down. What?
This is why he wrote on the back. This is why he wrote on the back. Because you didn't even help that woman down. Where is it? Okay. KB sits down next to Edmund.
Yeah.
And this beautiful scenery goes to shit. What happened?
So she just starts to light into him. And apparently her issue is that he's all lovey on camera, but off camera, he's dismissive. When they were on the ride to this place, mm-hmm. you know, he wouldn't really talk to her, you know, looked at his phone the whole time. So she's bringing that up. And she said that she's tired of trying and she can't force him to grow up, which Peter Pan, you know, he doesn't want to grow up. And she says, I love you through the good and the bad, but I will not accept you through the bad when you dismiss me. So I'm like, okay, so you don't love him through the bad. You can't say that. Right. Yeah,
that's saying one thing and taking it right back.
Yeah. Now, this is where I'm like, I applaud Edmund finally, because he says, I'm sorry for you taking whatever I've done wrong to you. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm in a good mood looking over this view and I'm enjoying this. Why are you killing my high?
Kill my vibe.
Yeah, why are you killing my vibe? What the hell?
You know what? I'm sorry. You just told us why she did what she did. Go ahead. Because don't kill my vibe. You know the song.
Yeah.
You know the words. That's what she heard.
Yeah. So here's what was interesting is that he keeps telling her, like, why are you yelling? And she says, you don't understand how I feel and you minimize shit. And Edmund said, you want me to apologize for something I'm not sorry for? Calm voice. I'm like, yes, Edmund, there's that backbone I've been wanting to see. And then he tries to her to stop interrupting him. Oh, yeah. And she doesn't. And then Edmund said, I've not done anything wrong to you. And I like how he stood up for himself in this moment. I've not done anything wrong to you. And he said, if I don't think I'm wrong, I'm not going to say sorry, which you and I can relate to. We're in that mm-hmm. same camp. We don't feel we did anything wrong. I'm not going to apologize. But then KB keeps interrupting him. And then she says, you're cutting me off while I'm talking to you, which that's exactly what she's been doing. And then this is where I lost it with KB, and I'm done with her. She said, you know, stop effing talking to me, bitch. What?
I'm going to tell you something. It's bad. She didn't even know she said it. I know she didn't know she said it, because that just flowed off her tongue just way too smooth.
She knows she said it. That's not an accident. That's not an oops. She knows what she said. Sorry.
Well, okay. Maybe she did know. But at least she kind of explained it. Like, this is how you bring me up my fucking character. I was like, oh, this relationship is done. Why are they still here? Because the minute you start cursing me like this, it's over.
The first time you cussed me like that, we're done. I'm a hate producer. She can keep the ring. I'm going to need another ride, though. I'm not riding with her. So, need you to call me an Uber.
Karen, by the way, thank you, Karen, for that super chat. Really appreciate you.
Yeah.
She says, am I the only one to feel sorry for Edmund?
No, I do. I feel sorry for Edmund. The fact that I feel sorry for Edmund for two reasons.
Okay.
I feel sorry for him that Netflix put him in this situation.
Yeah.
Knowing he shouldn't have been. I feel sorry for him to have to deal with KB.
Hmm. Well, I get it. But these people, she's not the only one cussing out her other person. Madison cussed Joe out all the time. So Edmund needs to take a page and just leave. If you,
Madison didn't call Joe a bitch.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, there's that. You can cuss, you can be mad, but you call me a bitch. Well, yeah, that was we're done.
It was. Yeah, it was a lot, man. This was a lot. I think that, and here's the thing about it. You look at the way that he's looking at her, and he's just. Processing. This is how you know. Remember, she said in the apartment before, you are smart.
Yeah.
Basically telling everybody that he is not as slow as he's pretending to be. And on that on that mountaintop, I see the way he's looking at her, and it's almost like if the cameraman wasn't there, I would tell you a few things that's on my mind, right?
Mm.
And of course, the cameras show up again. They're back at the apartment. What happens? He shows up with flowers. ready to apologize.
Mm. Producers probably told him to do that.
You wouldn't have done that, huh?
No. I'd come up. You said, well, I would have done that, no, because you called me a bitch. So, no, you don't get flowers after that. So I'd have came in with my luggage, packing up my stuff. Be like, what's up, KB? What's up, homie? I'd dap her up. Just let her know there's nothing emotional going on here. You can get straight dap from me. That's it.
She said that up on the mountain, she thought about taking a ring off. And okay, this, I don't like that. You can't use that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I was going to leave. Well, then go. Okay? Right. Let's not play this, I was going to do this game. Because that means you're going to do this again.
Yeah, but you can't look at that through real world eyes. 5 weeks from the time that they've met to this point. 5 weeks! They haven't been courting for years and then got engaged. And then she got mad and said, I'm going to throw this ring off. It's only been 5 weeks. So you got to give him a little bit of pass on that. Mm. But Edmund says he doesn't see him doing this without her. And KB said that he gave her hope with the flowers and the apology. Now, the
immediate apology.
She would have had to apologize to me on national TV for calling me a bitch. And I think she deserves to apologize to Edmund for that. If she doesn't do it, she needs to do it at the reunion. And just say, hey, I'm sorry. I totally disrespected you in front of the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing about it, it seems like we're getting to a good space. But then she says, the person cussing him out. This is where you go, no accountability. And I don't know what it is.
Right.
That on these reality TV dating shows, there's no accountability. And she says, the person cussing him out on the mountain is not who she is. And she hasn't been that person for years. Do you believe her?
No. That's who you are on the inside. That's your real you coming out. That's all it is. You've been suppressing it for years. Mm-hmm. But the real you is that's going to call a man a bitch to his face.
It's
a dude that she knows won't hit her, right? Because we know he won't kill a bug. So
he won't defend his woman if another man grabs her.
So there's no consequence for her actions. So she can call him that, knowing he's not going to do a dang thing about it. Now, she says that Edmund has made her grow more than anyone she's ever dated. Mm. What type of dudes has she been dating?
You know.
What type of dudes has she been dating? I mean, I get it. You like fixer-uppers, but come on.
And at least she did apologize, though.
Not for calling him the bitch. Sorry.
You know, Anna says that KB's a horrible representative of black women. Ooh, that's strong.
That is strong.
That is strong. You know, so a couple of things that popped up in here, too. J. Marie says, KB was wrong for cussing, but Edmund is exhausting. She's getting a bonus for walking down the aisle. Kay the Canary Diamond says, I don't feel sorry for Edmund, but he doesn't deserve this either. If Edmund would have called KB a bish, we already know how that would have been.
She'd have knocked him out.
Yes. Now, Shay Bay says she felt bad too. Seems like his playful spirit was sucked out of him this episode. Did you see that?
I would say he got a little bit more serious, especially there on the on the mountain. Yeah. That was a more serious Edmund. But I don't think that, you know, I don't think it was that bad.
Okay, so not that bad. By the way, shout out to Christina. Thank you for that super sticker. We do appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate the love. You know, the next time we see them, they're out rollerblading in the park. You remember that life you said that was sucked out of him at on the top of the mountain, which he was envisioning to be something else? We see it come back in the park. You'll get that later. We see it come back in the park. What'd you think of this whole rollerblading outside the park, man?
Nothing other than Edmund got to show off his rollerblading skills.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm like, I wouldn't be out there skating with you, not if you talk to me like that.
You're still holding on to that?
Oh, I would hold on to that for a long time.
You'd never give it up. You'd never give up on this, huh?
You do that? No. There's no giving up on it. No, we can't be cool. Sorry.
Okay. All right. You just not giving. Okay. All right. I get it.
That's a sly A. Put it on the list. If you call Terrell a bitch, it's over.
Well, you're not the only one. Redefine Me says, I agree with Terrell. Yeah. Christina says, can y'all actually see the sticker? We see it on YouTube, but we're doing this from StreamYard, so we won't see it here. But in the YouTube, we would. We'll see it. So appreciate it. Next up, we had Allie and Anton, and Allie's mom, Vanette, is visiting. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, and they start talking. Apparently, Allie's sister that she's closest to doesn't want to attend the wedding. You know, doesn't obviously support this whole deal. We see this happen all the time. So yeah, they're trying to talk. Yeah, it does. But you also got to understand their perspective. Like, I don't want to be a part of your shit show. Mm-hmm. I want to be on camera for that. Because that's the other piece. I don't want to be on camera.
Right.
So then Anton finally shows up. Because he was running late for some reason. But Anton's telling Vanette that he was raised in a Russian tradition. And the man is supposed to provide. So if she wants to pursue her master's, he will support that. But there needs to be a partnership. I like that they're out there, but there needs to be a partnership where I don't think Allie is down to be partners.
Yeah. I mean, of course not. I mean, we kind of knew that. But this, you see, when they go on this carriage ride and go glamping, I don't call it camping. They just went glamping, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very playful. Allie out there in her heels in the snow. Always a bad idea. But did you see Anton making his case for Allie not to give up on him when he's going with his whole, people give up too early? He's giving this, I have a dream speech that people don't give up early on their relationship.
I don't know, because like I said, I've been feeling like Anton is not going to say yes at the altar anyway. Uh-huh. So like, why say all this stuff and give some of that false hope? I thought it was odd when he said that. And then, and so it's kind of cryptic, but then also Allie did the exact same. You know, she right. did a draw four on him by saying, well, there's a thin line between an issue you can stay and work on, or are you pouring effort into something and it's still not going to work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the one thing I thought that stood out to me is when he says, if one person gives up, there's nothing you can do. Both have to be in it.
True.
Very true, right? Yeah.
Yeah. One person gives up. Well, that's you're fighting a battle that you're never going to win.
Monica says that Allie is down for a partnership, just not 50-50. More like Anton 80, including the trash and cleaning up and cooking and all that stuff, and Allie 20.
Yeah, okay. I don't even think she's going to do that much.
Apparently she's doing something.
Yeah. Her baby would be 8 months old, changing its own diaper. Just, I taught you how to do it yourself. I'm
so independent, baby. Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, Jordan and Megan, we get a whole slew of things with these two, right? The psychic reader saying that they're soulmates. Then they go hat hunting.
Yep. Kemosabe.
Did you like it? Was that one that you'd go get? I mean, I don't know if you just burned my hat. What am I going to do with that now?
No, I'm not a big hat person, but I know that I looked it up. Kemosabe hats, those are high quality. I mean, they're probably going to drop anywhere around 500 for a good hat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're interesting. He picks out one he likes. They cool. Even though Megan does admit, you know, when I first saw it, nah, but. Okay, it'll work. Then she starts talking about going house hunting, and she saw a couple house, saw another house. And I like what Jordan said here, because he's like, hold up now. I don't care that you're paying 95% of it.
Right.
I feel like when we find the right house, I will be there. In other words, don't choose the house without me.
Exactly.
This is not me in your place. This is us.
Right. Which I think she wants to make the decision to pick a place because, and she's doing all the research, thinking about schools, all these different things. I mean, she is totally on board, but you still got to make sure he wants to live there.
Right. Exactly. Then what you think of Megan choosing a house based on the address matching up with numerology?
I live in Austin and I'm around all that hippie weird shit that people are into. And I'm like, you do you. You got your crystal deodorants and all the different things that you want to do. I think it's crazy. I don't think there's any truth to that. I think it's just all in your head, you know. Mm-hmm. And but people believe in this stuff. When I was with Whole Foods, when we'd open up a store, they would have a feng shui expert that would kind of tell them, this is where the office needs to be, and here's why the energy is going to be like this. And they would actually do it.
Right.
And I was like, "That's how do y'all know that's not bullshit?"
Have you ever seen it work out for someone in their... Okay, let me stop. we see them again in the apartment, and there's a lot of weird energy between them, right? What was going on here with these two?
So they're starting to pack. But you can tell like there's just something in the air. And so Megan is trying to get a conversation out of him. And Jordan doesn't really want to talk. And I think, you know, Megan, she likes that mental stimulation. She wants to have some deep conversations. Maybe that's how she feels close. And Jordan is like, I've had a long day and I've been talking all day. I really don't want to talk right now. Yeah. And so that's where they keep going, which is she's forcing him to do more talking about why he doesn't want to talk. That has to be even more frustrating.
Yep. Because, yeah, if you don't want it, sometimes you just want some peace and quiet and a glass of STFU. You know, sometimes.
Yeah. I relate to Jordan. I'm like, look, I want you in my presence, but we don't have to talk all the time. And I used to think you did. I used to think that, okay, if you were dating somebody, y'all should be sitting around talking. You just can't just sit one person on one side of the couch, one on the other, reading a book. And once I've learned that that's acceptable, I was like, this is dope. I don't have to like put on a show for the person. I can just.
Hello, hey, that's like, hey, hello, me and my wife can sit in the same room and not say a word or sit in separate rooms and watch, you know, just chill, relax. Hey, you okay? Yep. Because then we need to be together. We're going to be together. It's you got to find that time. I mean, especially the older you get, and you're still single, it's the more me time you're going to need.
Yeah.
And you need somebody who understands that. Otherwise, you get a medicine. And then.
Now, but also to Megan's credit, Jordan has to compromise. You just can't say, look, I've been on calls for 10 hours, talking to people for 10 hours. I don't want to talk. You have to put in some effort to do that. Now, I get that he doesn't want to talk about work because she wants to ask about work. And I'm the same way. I don't want to talk about it because if you work in talent acquisition and you understand all things I'm saying, then it's fine. But if I have to give a whole lot more detail and I'm already frustrated and stressed, when I come home, like I want to leave my stress outside the front door. This is my sanctuary. This is my peace. And I don't want to like go through this stuff that's just going to get me riled up. Now I'm going to be, I can't sleep. Thinking about this meeting I had that someone pissed me off or something. It's just a lot. And so I think Megan has to also understand that you're not going to get all this talking from him all the time. You're going to get it.
Yeah.
But you can't be this like hungry and needy for conversation.
That's where this is going to be a problem because you're right. You can't want it all the time. But I get her frustration with the one word answers too, right? Now, Monica says Megan going to have to take Jordan on vacation to get the pod version of him. Here's the problem. Jordan seems to think he can't go on vacation without Luca. Mm-hmm. And vacation with a 5-year-old is going to be nuts. Who's going to tell him? He doesn't have to take Luca with him. You're going to need to spend some time. If y'all get married, you'll need to spend some time with your wife. Because if you forget about husband and wife.
But again, when you have money, you don't think like that. You just think, yeah, I'm going to go to Italy. Sure. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that with the kid, without the kid. You totally be fine. Right. But when you don't have that type of financial freedom where you can travel internationally and do what you want to do, right. Jordan can't do that. So he can't wrap his mind around this thought of we're going to go to Italy for a week.
Right.
Because he just can't figure that out. It's just not in his head to be able to do that. And I think I get Luca's five, but you and I are military kids. We've been on planes since we were little. Like you, you travel, and you take them with you. They'll be fine. But I just think he's in his head thinking of the financial piece about how traveling to Italy is going to be hard.
High Vibe says it looks like Jordan shuts down and that's not healthy. It would seem like that. And Miss Presale says Jordan looked tired AF in that scene. Roles reversed, KB would have been cussing. To their credit, they started smiling after this and joking.
Yeah.
Everything was fine. At least they didn't leave us on the sad set. Okay, producers, this is where you messed up.
Right.
Because you should have left us hanging on the, oh my God, they're about to break out. Don't show us them smiling again. You should have left it on that other part. Because I was like, holy crap. What's going on with these two?
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to ask this as we go. And I, sorry I didn't get to tell you this before because, you know, we're rushing. Predictions. Let's get to some predictions. Can we do that?
Okay. There's only three couples. It'll be easy.
Yeah, I know, right? Anton and Allie, yes or no?
No.
Yeah. I agree with you. I got a no. It's a no for me too, dog. What do y'all think, Chad? These two going to make it? Do you think it's a no from both of them or a no just from one of them?
I don't think both of them would. I think both would say no.
You think both of them would say no? Okay.
Yeah.
Some people, a lot of people say nobody getting married. So everybody say no for Anton and Allie. Okay. Let's go back to Jordan and Megan. How about these two? Are they going to make it?
I think that Jordan is going to say no.
You think Jordan's going to say no?
Which is crazy because it's like, oh, there's so much upside for him to be with someone like Megan. It could change his life in a lot of ways, not just because she has money. But I just think Jordan is going to be just annoyed with all that extra. And I think Megan is all in. I think she would still say yes, but I think Jordan's going to be the one who says no.
Wow. Luna 22 says these two are the only hope. J-Ro says nope. Lil Eva says no marriages this season. Sharonda says yes, but they still don't make it. So you don't think they're going to be there at the reunion? I mean, I could see that because I'm going to go with a yes too, right? I think they're going to say yes. Gwen says no. Sam, I know. Redefine me's, but is that you typing in there? Because everything you've said, Redefine me's been right there with you. Jordan definitely saying no.
There's some people that agree with me.
Somebody else says yes. Karen says yes.
There's some people that agree with me. It happens.
Yeah. Monique says, oh, shout out Monique. Hey, welcome in. Says, I want Jordan and Megan to say yes so bad. But will it last?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see how that one goes. I'm holding out hope saying yes, but it's like my betting on the weekend doing football games. It's just never really going to be very accurate. Edmund and KB.
No. No. No.
Oh, this is a shoo-in. If anybody says yes for these two, yeah. I don't see these two making it at all.
Now, do you see Edmund saying no? Or is it KB? Because I think KB is going to say no. I think Edmund would say yes, just because of what I've seen so far from Edmund.
Michelle agrees with you. Said Edmund will say yes, KB no. Luna says no. I mean, so that's my. Why do you think he's going to say yes?
Because he's Edmund. I think he just wants to be wanted. He just wants to be wanted by somebody. So he's going to say yes because he feels he's ready to get married. And he feels KB is his person and she's not.
Everybody's saying that part. You know, I don't think that he's going to say it. Yeah. I don't think he's going to say it. He knows. I looking at him, he knows. He knows. He's not stupid.
Okay.
He's not stupid. So I think they're both out.
He eats his boogers. He eats his boogers. He said that on TV.
I forget about that because they didn't show it.
They did. I've seen it. I'm like, he said he eats his boogers. Sorry.
Yeah, you're great. All right.
Unless he's like Kaiser Sose, just faking this. And he's this really cool dude, cool, calm, and collected outside of the pods. I'm not buying it.
All right, so we have our predictions. No, you don't think anybody's going to make it. I say maybe Jordan and Megan, and that's it. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit on the internet. We might talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Cheers.